Jai Radha Madhava Jai Kunjabi Hare. Gopichana Vamati Jahagiri Fata Hare Jagiri Vada Hare. Yasoda Nandana Vajra Janara Sivara Nandana Jajanara Yasoda Nandana Vajra Janara Yasoda Nandana Vajra Janara Soda Nandana Vajra Janara Jaya Jamuna Tira Vanachadi Jaya Chabi Hare. Jaya Jamuna Tira Vanachadi Jaya Chabi Hare. Jaya Radha Madhava Jaku Chabi Hare. Premanandi. So good morning, everyone. Welcome to Shri Shri Radha Kalachandji's Srimad Bhagavatam class. Today is Tuesday, and we are, what day is that? Can't see it from here. I'm sorry, it's Wednesday, the 18th, I think. And, sorry, hold on just a minute. There we are, I'm up to date. Today is Wednesday, the 19th of July. And it is Ekadasi, fasting from beans and grains. This morning we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, chapter number 16. And we're beginning with text number 22. This chapter is entitled The Lord's Opulence. Please repeat. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Okay, here we are. Parodasyam Vashishtoham. Parodasyam Vashishtoham. Brahmishta Nam Brihaspati. Brahmishta nam prahaspati skandoham sarva senanyam skandoham sarva senanam agranam bhagavan jaha agranam bhagavan jaha. Go ahead, Sam, you want to try it? Parodasyam Vashishtoham. Brahmishtanam Brihaspati. Skandoham Sarvasenanam. Agranam Bhagavanajaha. Very good. Okay, word for word, please repeat. Parodasham. among priests. Vishishta Muni. Aham. I am. Pramishtanam. Among those fixed in the Vedic conclusion and purpose. Brihaspati, the spiritual master of the demigods. Skanda, Kartikeya, Aham, I am. Sarva Senanyam, among all military leaders. Agranyam, among those advancing in pious life. Bhagavan, the great personality. Aja, Lord Brahma. Translation and commentary by the loving disciples of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki. Among priests, I am Vishishta Muni, and among those highly situated in Vedic culture, I am Brihaspati. I am Kartikeya among great military leaders, and among those advancing in superior ways of life, I am the great personality Lord Brahma. Among sacrifices, I am the study of the Veda, and among nonviolence, among vows. And I am non-violence among vows. Among all things that purify, I am the wind, fire, the sun, water, and speech. Among the eight progressive states of yoga, I am the final stage, samadhi, in which the soul is completely separated from illusion. Among those desiring victory, I am prudent political counsel. And among processes of expert discrimination, I am the science of the soul, by which one distinguishes spirit from matter. Among all speculative philosophers, I am diversity of perception. Purport. Any science is based on the faculty of expert discrimination. By skillful definition of isolated and interactive components, one becomes expert in any field. Ultimately, the most intelligent person can isolate the spirit soul from matter and describe the properties of matter and spirit as both isolated and interactive components of reality. The proliferation of innumerable philosophical speculations is due to differing modes of perception within the material world. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita 15:15, Sarvasya chaham hridi sandivishto mata smritir gyanam apoanam cha. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is situated in everyone's heart and awards a particular degree of knowledge or ignorance according to one's desire and merit. Thus, the Lord Himself is the basis of the mundane process of philosophical speculation, for He creates differing and altering modes of perception within the conditioned souls. It is to be understood that one can acquire perfect knowledge only by hearing directly from Lord Krishna, and not by hearing from conditioned philosophers who imperfectly perceive the creation of the Lord through the screen of their personal desires. Om gana tamarandasya garanjana shalakaya chakshu sanmilyatam jena tasma shri guruve namah shri chaitanya manobhistam stapitam jena bhutale swayam rupa kadamayam tadati swapadantikam. So good morning again, and this morning we're reading from the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. This chapter is entitled The Lord's Opulence. So in text number 22, Here Krishna is being described that he is Vishishta Muni among priests. There's a great history of Vishishta Muni in the Mahabharata, where he is described to be not only very learned and also extremely powerful by Brahminical standards, but also very forgiving. Vishishta Muni was able to forgive Vishvamitra Muni, who had murdered his 100 sons one by one, simply out of envy for Vishishta. The history has it that that Vishishta Muni had a beautiful cow, which was a Sarabi cow that could fulfill anyone's desire. How would you like one of those, Sam? A cow that anything that you want, the cow will give you. They're called Sarabi cows. So Vishishta Muni, he had such a cow. And there was a great king. His name was Vishvamitra. So Vishvamitra came once to the hermitage of Vishishta in the forest. And he had hundreds of thousands of soldiers. But Vishishta, he simply asked his Sarabi cow to supply a feast. And a great feast was created by the power of this wonderful animal. And all of the hundreds of thousands of soldiers were fed sumptuous food cooked in ghee. So Vishvamitra, he was astonished at seeing this. And he asked Vishvamitra for this cow in exchange for 1,000,000 other cows. But Vishishta said, no, this is my Sarabi cow, and I need her to worship Lord Vishnu. In the course of the conversation, Vishvamitra became mad with rage. And so he told his soldiers to take the cow away by force. But Vishishta, he was such a peaceful and humble Brahmin. He had taken a vow of forgiveness. So no matter what anyone did to him, no matter how rude or insulting or offensive, Vishishta would forgive them. So when the cow saw that Vishishta was not trying to protect her, she went to Vishishta and said, "My lord and master, why aren't you protecting me?" So he said, "Oh, my dear Sarabi cow, I have taken a vow of forgiveness. So please don't mind that I don't try to counteract the outrage of this insane Kshatriya king." He said, "But if you can protect yourself by your own power, please do so." So immediately from the udders of the cow, this gigantic army of man-eating rakshasas appeared. And they just completely destroyed Vishvamitra's army. And so much so that Vishvamitra was stood alone, completely awestruck and bewildered by the power of Vishishta and his Sarabi cow. So at this point, Vishvamitra took a vow that he would become a Brahmin. And so he performed severe austerities for thousands of years to come to the position of being a great rishi. But even in that position, he could not control his mind. And so he lashed out at Vishishta out of envy, even to the point of killing his 100 sons. But Vishishta, he did not become disturbed by this. It's a wonderful history. Vishishta also is known for having gone to the heavenly planets and having brought back the sun god's daughter, Tapyati, who was then married to Kuru Maharaj and who became the empress of the Kuru dynasty. So Vishishta is discussed, his glories are discussed in the Mahabharata and throughout the Vedic literature. Here also, he's being mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam as the greatest amongst priests. Among those highly situated in Vedic culture, Krishna says he is Brihaspati. Brihaspati is most famous for having created this amazing journal that can foretell the future. And if you go there and you read it and put in your birth date and calculations, everything about your future and your future lifetimes will be disclosed to you. He's also known as the priest amongst the demigods. Kartikeya was the great son of Lord Shiva and the goddess Parvati. And he became the leader of the demigods' armies, their commander-in-chief, also known as Skanda. And he spoke a great Purana, known as the Skanda Purana, which describes the glories of Lord Vishnu. Among those advancing in superior life, Krishna says that I am the great personality, Lord Brahma. In our Sampradaya, the Madhava Gaudiya Brahma Sampradaya, Lord Brahma is our leader and he's considered to be a great pure devotee of the Lord. And he appears in many pastimes of Krishna, such as the Brahma Vimohana Leela. But uniquely enough, when Lord Brahma saw that Krishna was not interested in his wonderful prayers known as the Brahma Samhita, in fact, he was impatient to go back and play with his loving boyfriends, the cowherd boys and cows. Lord Brahma prayed to Krishna that he would also become born amongst these intimate associates of the Lord. And so Krishna blessed him and he took birth as Haridas Thakur in Krishna's Leela. In the next verse, we see here that Krishna is describing that among sacrifices, he is the study of the Vedas. Prabhupada recommended that each morning and evening we come together and read both the Srimad Bhagavatam in the morning and at night the Bhagavad Gita and before going to sleep the Krishna book. Krishna, Srila Prabhupada described that if we were to do this together, not only would we go back to Godhead, but in fact we would enter into the state of samadhi, by which we would be able to perceive Krishna within the core of our hearts constantly. Here he's describing that among vows, he is non-violence. This is one of the qualities of a devotee, that they are forgiving and non-violent. But that's not to say that when a situation arises, the devotees will also use violence. Mahatma Gandhi is famous for having made a quote that even if an intruder or a criminal came into his house and began raping his own daughter in front of him, he would do nothing to stop him because of his non-violence. But Prabhupada said that this type of understanding is ignorance, because if a person, an intruder, was to enter one's home and begin attacking one's family member, it's the spiritual duty of each and every one of us to protect one another. And Prabhupada said that such violence used properly in the service of Krishna is thousands of times more spiritual than so-called religious nonviolence. In fact, Prabhupada, he explains in the Nectar of Instruction, the word, killer of the soul, apmahara. Prabhupada explains that in fact, if someone does not spread this spiritual knowledge and protect the other souls, the conditioned souls, who are ultimately our family members, we are all related to one another because of our relationship with Krishna. So if we don't protect our family members by giving them this spiritual knowledge and we allow them to become covered by the modes of nature and go to hell and then take birth as dogs eating their own stool, that is considered to be the greatest violence. So this vow of nonviolence practically means to spread Krishna consciousness to everyone we know. Here, Krishna is explaining that among things that purify, he is the wind, fire, the sun, water, and speech. Is that what the band Earth, Wind, and Fire meant when they took that name? No, of course not. They're performing in nightclubs. But in fact, everything is the property and energy of Krishna, and it ultimately is meant to bring us closer to Krishna. Whether Krishna takes something away from us, or whether Krishna gives us something, everything is meant to ultimately purify us and bring us back home, back to Godhead. So earth, wind, fire, water, and speech are all meant for this purpose. In text number 24, it's described that among the 8 progressive stages of yoga, Krishna is the final stage, samadhi. Prabhupada talks about how in modern society, yoga is completely misunderstood and thought to be simply gymnastics. But in fact, yoga is a science meant to ultimately allow us to perceive Krishna directly within the core of our hearts and for us to return back home, back to Godhead. Among those desiring victory, Krishna is prudent political counsel. And among processes of expert discrimination, he is the science of the soul. Modern scientists, many of whom don't understand the existence of the soul, what to speak of accepting that there is a science, a spiritual science. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada, he compiled the essays that are printed within the book, The Science of Self-Realization. Prabhupada, he wanted to show that this Vedic literature, not only is it based on the authorities of the Vedic culture, ultimately Krishna himself, but he also wanted to show that this is different than a religion, in that religion implies faith, and faith can change. Faith is something temporary. But the quality of the soul, known in Sanskrit, is Sanatan Dharma. Dharma means the intrinsic quality of everything. Just like the intrinsic quality of sugar is sweetness, the intrinsic quality of fire is heat and light, the intrinsic quality of water is liquidity. So in the same way, Krishna points out that the intrinsic quality of all living beings is the quality of service. That does not change like faith. Just like when you help someone else, how do you feel? You feel good. Very good. Because that is the intrinsic quality of each and every one of us. And when we direct that service mood to the Supreme Lord, that is devotional service. And that is our constitutional position. And that is how we experience complete satisfaction of the self. Here, Krishna is speaking that among speculative philosophers, he is diversity of perception. Prabhupada wrote a book. It's known as dialectical spiritualism. The ability to see diversity in unity. Here, any science that's based on the faculty of expert discrimination by skillful definition of isolated and interactive components becomes, anyone who follows that system becomes an expert in any field. So discrimination is the most important ability that we have for developing our understanding of life and intelligence. Discrimination is also the better part of valor. For example, if a soldier wants to try to help his army to defeat their enemies, he may suddenly run out into the battlefield and try to shoot down the enemies. But because of disclosing himself, he would become killed himself. So Prabhupada says, but an intelligent soldier, he will not do that. He'll use his discrimination. He'll formulate a plan. He'll go around behind the army and ultimately become successful and remain alive. So discrimination is the better part of valor. Ultimately, the most intelligent person can isolate the spirit soul from matter. Prabhupada describes this again and again. that knowledge means to understand the difference between matter and spirit. Nowadays, people are so dull-headed on account of indulging in sense gratification, even worse than animals. They've lost their ability of discrimination, and they're thinking that to gratify their senses up to the end of their lives is the ultimate purpose of human life. But here, Prabhupada's pointing out that to be able to discriminate between matter and spirit is the ultimate conclusion of knowledge. Scientists and modern men and women are very fond of speaking about nature, about what is natural. You'll hear it again and again. Sex is natural. Engaging in intoxication is natural. Doing all of these mundane things is natural. But here it's being pointed out that there are two natures. There is material nature and there is spiritual nature. So when we say something's natural, what nature are we talking about? Yes, sense enjoyment may be materially natural, but it's not natural for the soul. When the soul becomes free from the desire and the activities of sense gratification, the soul experiences the greatest satisfaction and joy. So discrimination between material nature and spiritual nature is the ultimate end of knowledge. Here it's also being described that there is a proliferation of innumerable philosophical speculations due to the different modes of perception within the material world. So, in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 15, text number 15, Krishna addresses this point by saying, Sarvasya Chaham Hridi Shanti Vishnu. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is situated within everyone's heart, and He awards a particular degree of knowledge or ignorance. Therefore, the chanting of the holy name is the most advantageous practice, and it's very practical, something that we can implement within our lives each day, and it's free. By chanting the holy name, we become directly in contact with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And by doing this, our senses and our intelligence become purified so that we can distinguish between these different coverings of material nature and how they're influencing us, the modes of ignorance, passion, and goodness. When Prabhupada first came to America, he thought that everyone in America was rich. But then, when he was walking in New York, he saw that there were so many derelicts in the street. And Prabhupada could understand that even in America, there's the influence of ignorance, passion, and goodness. So to distinguish between these, Prabhupada said, is the ability to come to a higher standard of life. Those in the mode of ignorance ultimately will become animals, and they will always be afraid. Those who remain in the mode of passion will take birth amongst the human beings, and they'll always be miserable. Those in the mode of goodness will take birth amongst the demigods, and they'll experience unlimited sense gratification. But Prabhupada points out that whether you're in the mode of ignorance, passion, or goodness, you are still bound to this material life on account of an intense desire for sexual enjoyment. Prabhupada gives the example of the hippies. Even though they gave up everything, they gave up their family, their father's properties, they gave up their happy lives, they gave up their educations and their occupations, but Prabhupada points out they could not give up sex life. Sex life binds us to this material world. So even if one becomes a demigod in the heavenly worlds, still he is not free. That is not liberation. He is still bound. And ultimately, when his pious assets fall down, again he will come to this earth and re-enter into this cycle of repeated birth, experiencing 8,400,000 different species of life. Modern scientists are very keen to describe how different forms of life evolve one after the next. But here, the Vedic literature points out that all forms of life appear simultaneously, and that the soul, according to its desire and mentality at the time of death, it takes birth in a particular type of body. So nature is not forcing us to take a particular body. Rather, it is our stubborn unwillingness to surrender to Krishna and our intense desire to enjoy sex life in this material world that we are being awarded particular types of bodies. This is the actual law of material nature. You act like a dog, in the next life you will become a dog. You act like a pig, in the next life you will become a pig. Act like a demigod, in the next life you will become a demigod. Yes, it's stated in the Bhagavad Gita. Shri Punya Avatanta Yantra Maneho. So, nature is not forcing you to do anything, but nature is simply giving you the results of your desire and your activities. So to understand this and to ultimately get free from this desire, these people in the material world, they're so foolish. They don't understand that even this material body is a punishment. And yet they go on trying to enjoy the punishment. Prabhupada points out that they are endeavoring so intensely. Why? Because they have the aim to enjoy sex life. Without that, you'll see they're simply wallowing in ignorance, drowning themselves in intoxication, or deluding themselves with different types of sense enjoyment, going from one form of entertainment to the next, candy coating their imprisonment and their suffering in this material body. So the devotees, they understand these things, and they don't engage in materialistic activities. Thus, the Lord Himself is the basis for this mundane philosophical speculation, for He creates the differing and altering modes of perception. So it's to be understood that one can acquire perfect knowledge only by hearing directly from Krishna, because Krishna is free from these modes of material nature. Krishna is compared to be just like a spider. Just like a spider, it can spin a web. Any other insect that touches the web immediately becomes entangled in the web. But the spider, he can dance upon the web. And then at any time, the spider can withdraw the web back within himself and go on his merry way. So the same way Krishna, he creates this material world. Anyone else who enters into this material energy becomes entangled. But Krishna can come here and he can perform wonderful activities free from the modes of material nature and dance in the rasa dance. And at any time, Krishna can wind up his pastimes or wind up the entire material creation within himself, and that which takes place at the end of Lord Brahma's life after 311,432,000,000 years. And that's simply the exhalation of Lord Vishnu's breath. So this is being described here. These are some of the opulences of Krishna. And by understanding them, one can go back home, back to Godhead. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.